of Bob Campbell. If you remember, Bob and Judy used to come here years ago, and Judy was now buried beside of her husband this past week. And then also we had the funeral here for Arlie Laws on whatever day that it was. My days and weeks, I'm like a baby. I got my days and nights mixed up. But anyway, we had the opportunity to preach to the family of Arlie Laws. And this scripture was the scripture that I used in that. And the Lord has impressed it upon my heart to share it with a larger portion of the church rather than just that unique family that was here. And I titled this message, Just Finished Well. Brother John, Just Finished Well. Many of us watch races, especially around the time of the Olympians doing their marathons and doing their running, maybe downhill skiing or cross-country skiing, whatever the season is, be it Summer Olympics or Winter Olympics. And we watch these events and you think, man, that person's fit or that athlete is, man, they're really in shape. And if you know Keith Handy's brother, Steve, he's got a son by the name of Dallas. Dallas Handy, he's a triathlete. I'm telling you, he's like a world-class athlete. And it wouldn't surprise me to see the young man in the Olympics or something sometime. But I've watched those races and I've seen them before. And I can almost liken those according to the scriptures that we all run the race. But one wins the prize. And I think about that. And Brother John, you ever know anybody in the church house? And man, they come in here. And Brother Greg, your son reminds me of one of these. And remember Gregory used to come in here, man, he'd just stand up and testify and shout. And he'd call all the rest of us out for not shouting along with him. You remember that? And that's the way Gregory was. He'd come in here and he'd say, why ain't y'all shouting? Why ain't y'all praising the Lord? What's wrong with you? And I remember him doing that. And he's not the only one. He needs our prayers. And he's not the only one. There's others. And we see them. They come out of the gate. Just as if the rabbit was let go in the gate and here comes the greyhound, they run hard. But then later on in the race, you don't find them. And I see these in the marathons. Brother, they go out and they'll be a pace or maybe a meter way out in front of somebody else. And there'll be a measure of distance way out in front of the other pack because they come out of the gate hard and strong. But as the time goes on, we see all those other ones that just steady and slow pace. It seemed like they were not going to get anywhere. But right down toward the end of the line, man, they finished well. Why? Because those others burned out and they just fell to the wayside. Man, my friends, I'm asking you tonight to finish well. When you come out of this thing, finish well. Be steadfast. Be faithful to the things of God. I read a verse of scripture and I believe it bears reading it out here. And I'm not going to have you turn there. Just listen real closely with your heart. And I don't know if any of you has ever had a foot out of joint or a broken tooth, but I want you to hear what the Bible says in the book of 25th Psalms in verse number 19, that having confidence in an unfaithful man in a time of trouble is like having a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. Let's not put our faith in somebody that's unfaithful. Let's don't put confidence in somebody that's unfaithful. But moreover, don't be one that is unfaithful. Don't be one that's on wishy-washy ground all the time. The Bible said that a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't count on that man for anything. And I'm glad that I've got a few faithful followers in the church house of God, Brother John, that I don't care who they are, where they're at, they would almost drop what they're doing. And that happened even today. I called around a couple different places when Sister Jean was taken to the hospital and then eventually on down to Winston. I just couldn't get away. And I made two phone calls, and I got Brother Potts, RG, to Winston, and I've got him back from Winston. The ones that got him down there couldn't stay all day, but they could go and take him down there. And then the one that went to get him couldn't go earlier, but could go later. And that's kind of what took place. But I'm glad that I can pick up my telephone and call somebody, and just like that, they're saying, what can I do, Pastor? Let me help you in some way. And I'm glad for that. And that steadfastness and that faithfulness is what God's looking for, not just in the pastor, but also in the pew. He's looking for it from every single one of us. Tonight, I would invite you to stand and give reverence to the reading of God's Word. Listen, folks, I just want you to finish well. I want you to look back at your past accomplishments and think, man, they pale in comparison to what God can do with me if only I trust in Him. A lot of times, and you'll see this in older preachers, and I'm not denigrating older preachers, but God, I'm going to be one. I feel it already. It's creeping up on me. But Brother John, later on in their ministry, they always look back on what they've done. And they can stand up here for an hour and a half and tell you all the revivals they run and all the people that got saved. And I remember this revival, 20 got saved, and that revival, 30 got saved. And Brother John, they rest on the fact that there was great accomplishment. Paul himself could have done that in this passage of Scripture. He could have rested on what he had done. But bless God, hey, Paul wanted to finish well. He wanted to go to the end. And he wanted wanted to be offered up and bring honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. And basically, that's what I'm saying. Don't rest on your past accomplishments. Look forward to any future achievements that God would do with you, and then rest in those promises. Man, God's going to use me. Brother John, say it right now. God's going to use me. Amen. Believe that. God's going to use me. And you ought to say that yourself. Brother Joe and young Troy, y'all are just young preachers. You ought to say it every day. God's going to use me. And I'm going to put myself in His hand to be used of Him. I just want to be an instrument. I just want to be a glove in which He places His hand. Brother Chris, you ought to read out of the book of Isaiah once in a while and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Who can I send? Send me. You ought to be saying that. Don't rest on anything that you've ever done, but look forward to what He might do with you if you'll just trust in Him. Paul's in the 20th chapter here of the book of Acts, and he's a witness now before the Ephesian elders at Miletus. And I'm telling you, he's got it going on because he's about ready to offer a discourse. And I will take you in just a minute over to the book of Timothy, where he finally makes that bold exclamation that I fought the good fight. And the time of my departure is at hand. And he knows that his time's just about up. But in this discourse to the Ephesian elders, Brother John, he's got something else in his favor. And listen as I read this scripture. In the book of Acts chapter number 20, Paul said in verse number 14, and we went before the ship and sailed to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and came to Mytilene. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chios. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried in Trogyllium, and the next day we came to Miletus. For Paul had determined to sail by Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted if it were possible for him to be at Jerusalem for the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And here's where this is where he starts this, I guess it's a tear-stained dirge of what's happened and what's going to happen. Paul, I mean, he's broken, he's got tears in his heart, and he's talking to these people, and I'm telling you, he tells about past accomplishments, he tells about past, but he's not resting in that because he knows there's still yet a work to do. Look what it says on down through here. Verse number 18, it said, when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner that I've been with you in all seasons. Here's what he said. He said, I've been serving the Lord with all humility of mind. He said, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how that I kept nothing back that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Now, listen at 23 and 24 expressly, because these will become the text verses for this whole message tonight. He said, the many things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Brother John Shoemaker, ask God to bless us. We're going to bring a message tonight about finishing well. Amen. Another passage of scripture, Paul talks about one running as if he beateth the air. I want you to run as if you're accomplishing something. I want each and every one of us to look inside of us and find out why we're running. Are you running for your own promotion, your own self-vain or self-glory? Are you running that it might bring a good name upon yourself? Listen, a good name is highly favored, and I believe in a good name. I believe in having a goodly heritage. But Brother John, we ought to know why we're running. I'm not in this thing for me. I promise you that, because you can ask my dear wife. The tears that befall me are there, Brother Tam, because I have nothing. Sometimes I'm as empty as a tank of gas that's dried up, and there's nothing but rust buckets in the bottom of the tank. I mean, that's how low that I feel. feel and how spent that I am. And Brother Dennis, if I was doing this for me, I'd have quit a long, long time ago. I'm in this thing because souls hang in the balance and because sinners that have been saved, such as us that are already here tonight, I bless God, we come in here and we need something. We need a little fuel for the journey. And Paul's encouraging these Ephesian elders. He said, I myself, Paul the accused, Paul the apostle, Paul that one that would eventually be crucified him or martyred himself. Paul said, I just want to finish my course. And he didn't just say, I want to finish it. He said, I want to finish my course. And those next two words, he said, I want to finish them with joy. And bless God, I want you to finish with joy. I don't want you to finish with a tear-stained heart, Brother Tam. I want you to finish joyfully. And I want you to finish knowing that the work you did, Brother Greg, it was not in vain. It was in the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was in His name and in His word and in His will, and it was His work that was being accomplished through you. And that way, whenever you're stretched out at the front of a church, somebody might say, he finished well. Have you thought about what a preacher might say over you? I have thought about that, Brother Derek. I wonder what kind of stuff they would say. Brother Chris was teasing me a little while back, and he said, if you ever preach my funeral, he said, you better say something good. And I said, Brother Chris, you wouldn't want me to lie. And Brother Chris said, well, make up something. Brother Chris, let me tell you, if you were to preach your own funeral right now, which you are, and you're preaching yours and you're preaching yours, what are you giving the preacher that will stand behind the book board? What are you giving him to say? Brother Jake, what are you giving the pastor of the church to say? I wish that I could look down. If you go before me and say, bless God, he was a good youngin. He was a great son-in-law. He was a great husband to my daughter. Bless God, he was faithful to the Lord's house. He did good things for the work of the Lord. He had a cause of Christ in his heart and mind, and it showed in the things that he did in helping others. And that's what every one of us ought to have, Brother. I want you to finish well. Don't come out of the gate like a barn burner and then somewhere along the line start to fizzle out. Keep going. Be steadfast. I saw this little thing on the computer the other day, Brother Dean, and it said it had finally been confirmed. And what it was, Brother Tam, there was a turtle and a rabbit, and they were in a race, Brother John, and it was true. I watched those things. That rabbit took off, and right before it got to the finish line, it just stopped. And the people got in front of it, and they had carrots and lettuce and everything, saying, come on, come on, come on. It was somebody's pet rabbit. And you know what happened, Brother Derek? That old turtle just kept on a-crawling, and he kept on a-crawling. And you know, that thing actually did beat that rabbit. And I'm thinking to myself, man, that turtle was steadfast. Man, that turtle just stayed the course. He might have been slow, and he might have been a Brother Max Jennings. If he was sitting right back there, he would say, Brother Max always says, I'm moving like a herd of turtles. And brother, there's something to be said about a herd of turtles. They're still going. They're still steadfast. They're still moving on. But so many of us like that hare. We're like the rabbit. We come out, and there you go, man. He's going for the Lord. And then 6 months, a year, 2 years later, by the time you can't find them, where they at? I don't know what happened to them. FBI couldn't find some of them. Anyway, let's look into the scriptures. Paul said that, and now behold, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things of what shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost, witness in every city, saying that the bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. Those things did not hinder him. They did not deter him. They did not stop him. How many times, Brother Chris, would they be thrown into a prison? Brother Joe, would they be thrown into a prison and be told, do not mention his name anymore? Sometime, Brother Jody, they'd let him out, and they'd beat him on the way out the door and say, don't you go and speak in his name anymore. What'd they do, Brother John? They'd put the balm of Gilead on the ointment and on their stripes and go right back to what they were doing. Why? Because they were steadfast in what they were doing, and they wanted to finish well. I'm wondering about us sometimes, what would happen if somebody beat us and smote us across the shoulders in the back and said, don't you speak his name anymore. Would we clam up and shut up and sit down, or would we keep going for the cause of Christ? I don't know the answer to that for all of you. I don't even know it for myself. I'd like to think that I'd keep going, but I really wonder sometimes, what would they say about me when I'm stretched out? What are they going to say about you? Paul said, I just want to finish. Listen to what he said. He said, that I might finish my course with joy. I want you to take note of this passage, because there are some examples of other people in the scripture. Mary D'Arce, were you here? Did you stay for the funeral or just come through the line? You didn't stay for the funeral? Brother Chris stayed. Miss Cindy stayed, right? Anybody else that was here for that funeral? Miss Wanda stayed. You get this twice, Miss Wanda. Chris and Miss Cindy, you get this twice. You know why? Because you need to finish well. You need to finish well. You say, well, why'd you bring them up? Because this same thing happened whenever I was at that funeral, Brother Tam. This family is sitting right over here. I don't know how many of them were lost and how many of them were saved. But you know, at the end of that service, that was such a fractured family. And during the fracturing of that family, do you realize that there were people in that family that did not even come to the funeral because of certain events that took place the 2 days prior to that? And if you're, is this thing being recorded? Who's in my sound room tonight? Mute that thing or cut me off just a second. Samson was a man that God hath blessed. I mean, God's got his hand on Samson. And brother, he started out well. He had the strength of God, the honor of God, and the spirit of God. It all resided right with this man by the name of Samson. But Brother Tam, he started well. But boy, he sure didn't end well, did he? He laid his head in the lap of sin. What happened? It cost him. It cost him his fellowship with God. It cost him his freedom. It cost him his eyesight. And then for one last vengeance, one last measure, the Bible said his hair began to grow again. Put him between the pillars. He brought down the house and killed many more Philistines in death than he did in life. But Ryan, he didn't finish well. Saul. How about King Saul? You said, boy, he started well. Israel, Brother Tam, they're wanting a king. Give me a king. Give me a king. God said, no, I've set it up as a period of judges. You'll have judges to judge over the people. They'll hear the matters. They'll go to judgment on it. But the people said, we want to be like others. We want a king. God said, I'll give you a king. Here's Saul. Brother Tam, an honorable king. Started out well. God had his hand upon him. Started out well. It comes down to this, Brother Derek. You go down to the land of Agag and you kill him. You kill the Amalekites. You take them all out and don't you take anything out of that place. Samuel give him that demand from God. Well, Samuel goes back to check on after an appointed time. And there's Saul. And in the background, there's something else. What is that? It's the lowing of the sheep, the bleeding of the sheep and the lowing of the oxen. And Samuel asked the question, Saul, did you do what God said? Yay. Yeah, I did. But we kept some of the best out for the sacrifice. Thus brings in the term and the word for every one of us today, Brother Jerry, that the Bible said it's obedience is better than sacrifice. Obey God and obey him in that right. And then everything else will finish and work itself out. Saul started out good. But he didn't finish well. Who was the second king? Now, I'm going to be honest with you. A lot of times if you see one and you see that fall or you see that failing, you see that failure, do you not take notice of that? Shouldn't you think? Well, Samuel anointed Saul. Samuel could have pulled the young lad that was in the house of Jesse aside and look, it did not work out well for the first one, but God has sent me down here to your daddy's house to anoint one of you boys. And I looked over them all and bless God, there wasn't none to be found. And I asked about you. I didn't know where you were at, but I asked, he's not among these others. Is there yet one? And they told me that there was but one and he was a little shepherd boy. And now it's come to you. Samuel could have pulled him aside and say, look, it didn't finish good for the first king. But here's the oil, and I'm going to anoint you to be the king. You would think in your right-thinking mind that if it didn't work well for Brother Preston, why's Chris think it's going to work any different? It doesn't work any better for the second one that sins than it did the first one. And we know that Samuel, when he anointed the head of Jesse, of David, Jesse's son, he had high hopes for David. I can't believe, but he had high hopes for David. Sure he did. Why? Because the Bible describes and it even tells us that he was a man of passion for God. He was a man, the Bible said, after God's own heart, Brother Tam. He was the apple, if you will, of God's eye. And Brother John, he had high hopes for David. David started well, but he didn't finish well. You look at what happened when David sinned with Bathsheba. I'm telling you what, the sword was thrust into his household and it went downhill from there. It really did. His whole house was broken up. The murder of Amnon and the rape of Tamar and this Absalom trying to ascend to the palace. And brother, he started well, but it didn't end well. How many people have been that way? When the Lord is choosing disciples, come on, Matthew, come on, Thaddeus, come on, Bartholomew, come on, James, John, Peter, y'all, come on. Come on, Judas, go follow me. He started out well. Judas started out well. He had every opportunity just like the rest of them did. Even found favor with the others and said, here, you keep the money. You keep the treasury of the Lord as the Lord's ministry here on earth. We're going to have somebody to take care of the money. And who'd they give it to? They give it to Judas. By the time he started out well, but boy, he didn't finish well, did he? That hungered on him. He got to lusting after that. And we see what happened. He sold our Savior out, Brother Derek. 30 pieces of silver. But you realize, you see where he realized that, Brother John, and went to give the money back. And went out and hung himself. Brother Chris, he had every opportunity like anybody else to start out well and finish well, but he didn't finish well. We could keep going over and over and over and over. I could start, and I'm not going to start again. I don't want to use names, but man, I watched people in my life. Brother Ryan, our uncle, won't use his name here, but he started well. Pastored a church, run revivals all over this country. Started out well. I'm talking about honoring God with testimony, honoring God, Brother Tim, with preached word. And I mean preach the house down. I mean bring conviction on lost sinners by the word of God. But he didn't finish well. I want you to finish well tonight, my friends. Church, I'm encouraging. I'm not beating anybody up tonight. Brother Tim, that was Sunday, wasn't it? Sunday was a beat up. We preached on sin here, Brother Tim. I wish you'd been here. I wish more than Jan was here. She'll kill me if she... There are others that started out bad, but they finished well. You look at their lives. Look at Joseph. It just didn't look like it was a good thing at all. The poor boy's having dreams. He sees cows eating up cows. He sees sheaves bowing before him. Brother, he sees all kinds of things. He goes and he's favored of his father. His daddy loves him and brings him a coat of many colors. That poor boy, he started out very poorly. His brothers hated him and despised him. Said, grab this boy, throw him in that pit over there. Threw him in a dry well, Brother Tam. It didn't look like it was of any benefit to anybody the way that Joseph's life was starting out. And then Reuben and them got to thinking about him. Benjamin, they pulled him up out of that. And Joseph's heart starting to swell. Think, man, things are looking up for now. Here comes a band of Midianite merchant men, said, sell him to them. Well, at least we can get a little bit of money out of him. It's better than him dying in that pit. So then they sold him out. He's starting to get lifted up every time he goes that way, Brother Tam. It looked like his life was in shambles. And that's the way it went for him. All the way through Potiphar's house, through the prison, all the way up to the top. But he finished well. It started out kind of slow. It started out kind of weak. How many of you have seen people? Ryan, we grew up in a red cornfield, tobacco field, hay priming, getting up chicken poop, cleaning out chicken out, picking butt. We started out nothing, but my God, you realize God's made me a preacher of the cross of Christ. Brother, I'm telling you what, I want to finish well, and that excites me. We started out rough. And I know many of you may have had meager beginnings of just... Seeming, I'm talking about materialistically. We didn't have anything, Brother John. We still got most of it. But God has blessed me, Brother Tim, to put the calling of God on my life to preach. That excites me. I want to finish well. I surely don't want to mess it up. Did Moses start off, Brother Chris, as a deliverer? No, he didn't. He started out in a basket floating in the Nile. He started out, it didn't look good. It doesn't look good from the start, but he got plucked out, did he not? Did he not get to be raised by his own mother? Did that not work out real well for him? Did he murder a man, but God still used him to become the deliverer to go down to Pharaoh's land and bring those out of Egypt? You better believe it. He started out with a rough beginning, but he ended well. Look at your own life and ask yourself, how am I finishing out? Chris, I'll use your favorite book of the Bible, the book of Ruth. Ruth is in the land of Moab. Things aren't looking too promising when you're growing up in God's washpot. They don't. That's not exciting to know that I'm coming from a place that God thinks is a cesspool of nothingness. But God sent deliverance into the land of Moab. And whenever Elimelech went down with Mahlon and Chilion, they go down there, Brother Chris, with Naomi. Guess what? Her situation started to change. She may have been down there, Brother Tam, and it didn't look like it was going to go well for them. But I'm telling you, Ruth finished well to become the great-grandmother of the king and then to go on the very king that God, Jesus Christ himself, will rule and reign from the throne of. That's finishing well in my book. In your book, it may not be much, but hey, how about that? Look on through the Bible. People all over the place that started out rough and finished well, or started out rough and finished well. Look at Demas, if you would. The Bible said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He turned back. So anyway, let's go back in here, the four real quick things. Miss Wanda, you may remember these from the funeral, because I'm going to hit them and we're going to close here in just a minute. What helped Paul to finish his course well? Look at verse number 24. The Bible says it starts off, none of these things moved me. Paul had a great determination. He said, these things don't move me. I want you to be so fixed. David says in the Psalms, he said, my heart is fixed. It didn't mean repaired. It means it is stayed. It is steadfast. It is fixed. You've seen somebody with a fixed gaze or a fixed stare. It means they're steadfastly focused on something. That's the way that Psalmist's heart was. He said, my heart is fixed. You would have to say in this passage of Scripture that Paul's heart was fixed. Paul had a great determination because he said, and when we read that again, he said that, And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save the Holy Ghost witness in every city, saying that the bonds of afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. You'd have to say that Paul had a great determination. Am I right or wrong? Look at the next thing that helped him. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. What is that? Miss Cindy, you ought to get an A+ on this test, honey. You were here. Brother Chris, what is that? If the first thing was a great determination, what is the second? Paul had a great self-denial. Did he not? He said, look what it's, I just read it. I can't quote it again, but I'll read it to you. He said, none of these things move me. He said, neither count I my life dear unto myself. The Bible says, my friend, that if you're going to be a follower of me, if you're going to be a disciple of mine, what is a disciple? It is a disciplined follower. If you're going to be a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, you're going to have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. That's what helped Paul to finish well. He was about self-denial. He didn't care what happened. Beat me, throw me over the wall, let me down over the wall in a basket, stripe my bag. Bless God, do whatever you got to, but I'm going for the glory of God that I might be able to say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I'm ready to be offered. And he did it well. Keep on going. Look what it says in the latter part of that. He had a great determination. Paul had a great sense of self-denial. And in that same verse, the 24th verse, he said, and look at this, that I might finish my course with joy. Paul delighted in his salvation. Brother John, do you just revel in it and bask in it? Do you love it or do you loathe it? I love it. You should never loathe what God puts upon your life. Sometimes pastors get under that heavy burden. It's been said above 80% of pastors have been depressed or are depressed. And I find that probably to be higher than that. I see my pastor friends and sometimes, Brother Tam, they're in a mess. They are. They're in a mess because they feel like they got a weight of 1,000 worlds on them. But I'm telling you, Paul said, I finished well. He said, I delight in the Lord. He said, that I might finish my course, but not just finish it, but finish it with joy. And then the last thing, look what it said in the latter part of that 24th verse. He uses the name above all names, the name whereby every tongue will confess and every knee will bow before him. It is the name, according to the book of Acts, chapter number 4, verse number 12, Brother John, that there is neither any other name given that men must by whereby must be saved. And look what he says in the latter part of that. That I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ to testify the gospel of the grace of God. What will help you to finish well is this. You've got a great deliverer. There's nobody greater. Where are you going to go to and find that kind of help? Brother Joe Minton, he's a help, a very present help in a time of need. I wonder how many times we turn to the deliverer or we turn to programs. We turn to things, Ryan. Some people turn to a bottle. Some people turn to a pill. Some people turn to all different sexual affairs and all these other things that they turn to. Brother Tam, aren't you glad that you finally turned to the Lord to become your deliverer? And whenever I'm telling you, when he did that, Brother John, then you could delight. Amen. Then you could deny. Right. You could do all the above. You could do all the things that you might finish with, but you couldn't do it without a deliverer, because you can't do it in your flesh. Amen. You can't do it in yourself. So I get ready to close tonight. Brother Scott, would you come up? And Miss Macy, would you get us something? I am going over to the book of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. Paul said these words, "I'm ready to be offered." Could you say that? Right now, Brother John, could you say, "Lord, I'm ready to come home"? Or would you say, "Well, I need to go do this first. I need to go do that first." Paul said, "I'm ready. There's no question about it. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I fought the good fight, and I have finished my course." What did he say earlier? He said, "None of these things move me, neither count I myself dear, my life dear unto myself, that I may finish my course with joy." Over here, he said, "I have fought the good fight, and I have finished my course." He's done. He's ready. Brother Chris, right now, if you found out you had a terminal illness, you're going to die in 10 minutes. You said, "Nobody has a terminal illness. If they're going to die in 10 minutes, they're usually 6 months, or I'll give you 3 months. If you had a terminal illness, found out you're going to die this time tomorrow night, you're going to be gone. Anything else to do? Anything else for you to do? Anybody you need to go see? Any forgiveness you need to make?" I had a man look me in the eye the other day, and he said, "I'm sorry." And I said, "For what?" A tear kind of didn't come off his cheeks, just swelled up in his eyes. He told me again, he said, "I'm sorry." I said, "What are you apologizing for?" He said that no fewer than 5 or 6 times. "I'm sorry. I accept that apology. I'm glad to get that apology. Was it necessary for him or for me to go to heaven? No, because both of us were already saved. But I'm telling you what, it sure felt good. It sure felt good." And the next time I saw the man, you know what he said to me, Tim? He said, "I love you." He said, "I don't ever want you to forget that." Derek, that's what he told me. He said, "I don't ever want you to forget that." He said, "I love you." Brother, that means something to me. It meant something that a man would come to me and say, "I'm sorry." I knew what it was. And I've not held an ill will. I've not. But boy, Tim, it felt good just to hear somebody say, "I'm sorry, brother." And then to hear the next time that he saw me say, "I love you." That means something. You know what that tells me, Brother Tam? It tells me that that person's wanting to finish well. Getting some things in place. Getting some things ironed out. To get the things out of the way that might hinder me from finishing well. How'd you got to be, Brother John, on your deathbed? About ready to depart here. And say, "Wait a minute. I can't get up. Can you go get this one? Go get Derek and bring him down here. Get Greg. Bring me a phone. I got to make some phone calls. Man, I got some apologies to make. I've got some forgiveness to grant." All because you just haven't run well. Now you're trying to finish well. Get that stuff fixed while you can. Brother Scott, what have you got? 374, press on. Press on. It won't be very long. My friends, finish well. Joe Knight, I started out my life with that woman right there 30, almost 2 years ago. I knew nothing about marriage. And for those of you that's been married less than 2 years, 1 year, leave the marriage advice to somebody else. You can tell them how good yours is. I heard a deacon come in the other day. He goes to another one of our sister churches in the area. And the preacher was trying to make an illustration about how important it is to live a life unto the Lord in all ways, and especially in your household, because your household has to be a household of faith. And he looked out across his congregation and he said, "How many of you in here have a perfect marriage?" He said, a hand shot up. And he said, "You know when that boy got married? The same day Macy did." October the 20th. They all laughed at him. "It's been a perfect marriage." A month in, it probably is. But I started out 32 years ago. And I promise you this. Our marriage right now is healthier. It's stronger than it was 30 years ago, than 30, it was 32 years ago, Brother Tam. I want to finish well in my marriage. and talking to her mom, her dad the other day. Her mom and dad are divorced. It's no secret. You know how long they were married? 32 years. No doubt, Miss Cindy, they started out well. I feel that. I remember whenever I married Cindy and I took her to South Dakota with me. Broke their hearts. It really did. They were okay, Brother James, until they drove that 2,000 miles. When they got out there and saw us in our little old two-bedroom, one-bath apartment, just as happy as two peas in a pod. I mean, when they saw us, they were fine. Everything seemed to be okay then, Brother Tam. But after 32 years of marriage, you say, why do you keep hitting 32? Because we've been married 32. In April, it will be 32. But that's their marriage. Ryan, how long did my mom and dad make it? You don't remember? It wasn't 32. It was like 25. 25 or 30, whatever it was. They waited till you got 18. I think you have. You said, man, you're rough on people tonight. No, I'm being real. They might have started out well. In work, in church, in marriage, in all things. But my friends, when it comes down to the end of the line, there's a judgment bar in heaven. Be it the judgment seat of Christ or the great white throne judgment, Brother Chris, the tail of the tape will be unveiled before you. That life, Brother Tam, that is yours, will read like a scroll. The things we did, the sins of omission, the sins of commission, will be unveiled before you. I want you to finish well. Troy, I do. I want you to finish well, son. I do. Jake, I want you to finish well. I don't know that we'll ever get to see you and Macy have your 32nd wedding anniversary, because if you do, I'm going to be really old. But that'd be okay. If I did that, I'd have to live to be 83. And that's not unheard of, but I want you to finish well. I want each one of you to finish well. There's an altar up here. Don't know who might need it or why you might need it, or if you even do need it. But my friends, if you've come out of the gate and you run hard for a while, you took on the attributes of Lot or Samson or any of these others that I preached about. Man, you did good for a while, but somewhere along the line, you've had some missteps and misgivings. You're just not running well right now. How about it? Brother Scott, if you want to sing, you can. If Miss Macy just wants to keep playing, that's fine. But my friends, I want you to finish well. I do. As your pastor, I want this church to finish well. This thing was established in 1946. As far as I know, Brother Dean Johnson, it's still healthy. It's still viable. It's still a living organism, a living part of the body of Christ. And it's still healthy in this community. It still has a purpose. I want it to be that way another 40, 50, 60 years. To do that, it's going to have to finish well. I want it to be still standing strong when the Lord comes back. If you've got anything, the altar's used, the altar's open. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you tonight, dear Lord, with a thankful heart, Lord.